face to faith with Christ my Savior. Face to faith, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing in his presence, when our banished grief or pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
We are here to worship this morning. Amen? God Almighty, because he's important. He is important. And here's the amazing part. God Almighty sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross because he thinks we're important. Isn't that something? That's amazing. What a great God we serve. And so I hope and pray that your hearts are turned toward the Lord at this time and expecting to hear from the Lord. And that's what makes a difference. Faith. Amen. That God is in our midst to speak to us here this morning. With that said, let me invite you over to our text this morning, the book of Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11. The book of Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11. Genesis chapter 13 verse 11 reads this way. It says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Again, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, and we are here this morning as your church, your local New Testament church here at Northwood Baptist Church, gathered together in your name that we might hear from you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're here in our midst. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit that indwells each believer to guide us, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might be uplifted and glorified, and our lives blessed for being in your house today. Lord, that you might change our lives to be the witness and the testimony of the life-changing grace that you've bestowed upon every believer. And then, Lord, if there's one in our midst or more than one that does not have that assurance, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them that they might receive the gift of eternal life that you've given when you died on the cross and shed your blood. Bless the service, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is A Personal Pursuit. A Personal Pursuit. And we look here at this portion of Scripture here, and if we were to back up in verse 10, in fact, let's do that. Look at verse 10. It says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." And so as we look at this, I want to ask you this question. What moved Lot? What do you think moved Lot? Let me ask you this. Was it the Lord that moved him? No, it was his eyes, wasn't it? It's what he saw. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that moves us? And sometimes we need to bring that into check, because what moves us today may not move us tomorrow. What moved Lot when Abraham moved out may have changed at this particular point in time in life. And so it is very probable and possible for you and I to move, not based upon God's direction, but upon what we see or what we hear or how we feel. You ever hear people say, "Well, I feel..." Well, faith is out the window, isn't it? "I think..." Well, that's not God, amen? And so let me ask you this morning, where is your relationship on a scale from 1 to 10? Don't answer this out loud. Especially if it's below 5, you don't want to answer that. Where is your walk with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord, your experience with God on a scale from 1 to 10 today? Where do you think it might be? And now let me ask you this question. What does God see? If he were, we think one way, don't we? Well, I think, for some reason, people just like to pick 5 or 6 or 7. I could go a little better, right? But remember that being lukewarm is not a good place to be. God wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to be a 10. Do you know why? Because being a 10 is not contingent on what you and I do. It's contingent on what God is doing in our lives and what he wants to do in our life. So it's a 10, not because of what I do. Sometimes people say this, "Well, I'm doing a little bit better today because I read my Bible this morning, and I said some prayers this morning, and I've done this morning, and I've done that this morning, and I said this to that person to encourage them." Well, what's salvation based upon what's being said there? Is it the work of God or what I'm doing? May I tell you, the righteousness of God covers the believer because of the grace of God, not because of what we do. But wait a minute, that's not an excuse to allow the world or the flesh to have dominion in our life. Jesus said, "Be ye holy." In fact, God said, "Be ye holy." Why? Because I'm holy. And because God will make us holy. So don't answer this. Don't answer this out loud. How's our language in the world today? Are we using the vernacular and the profanity of the world? It's a crying shame for somebody to profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and filth comes out of the mouth. It's something that we need to understand and say this. Listen, if I see things that are in contrast or contrary to the Word of God, God's not asking us to do more and to do better. God is asking us to call upon Him who changes our lives. Because if change is left up to you and I, we're not going anywhere real fast. But if change is left up to the Lord, He will bring it to pass. But here's the interesting truth, and we'll see that here this morning. You can only do that for yourself. You cannot do that for anybody else. You can encourage people, but they need to make that choice. Listen, I am convinced Abraham wanted Lot to be faithful to God. He really did. But you know what he came to the conclusion of? I can't do it for him. So he gave him the choice, didn't he? The circumstance and the situation is there every day, as it is in your life and mine, as to whom we will serve. Whom will you serve today?
Don't look at what you used to do. What are you doing right now for God? See, because what you used to do, if it's not the same, has no relationship today with what you used to do in the past. I cannot tell you how many people would tell me, well, this is what I used to do for God. Well, what are you doing right now? Because the Bible says that we are to grow from faith to faith and that we're to continually press toward the mark by the grace of God. So God is wanting to do a work in every believer's life. And if that's not happening, it's not because of us. It is because of us. It's not because of God not wanting to do it. It's because of maybe misunderstanding that God is wanting to do a work. So as we consider our text this morning and we step back to the time of Abram and Lot, we're going to take notice of four truths that are important. If we want God to move our lives closer to Him, if you think you're going to move your life closer to God, you're never going to get there. Let me just say that again. If we think that we are going to move our life closer to God, we're never going to get there. But if we believe it's the work of God to draw us closer to Him, because didn't Jesus say, concerning salvation, no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. Is that in the Word of God?
Amen.
Okay, one person. Amen? That's in the Word of God. Let me ask you this. Is the forgiveness of our sins a gift of God? All right. Who is it that can only give us eternal life? God, amen. Do you believe that? So if it's the work of God and the gift of God to forgive us of our sins, does it not stand to reason that to be delivered from our sins is also a gift given by God as well? It's not ours. See how we lose it right away. Oh God, it's your work. Now that I'm saved, I've got to do it. Oh no, listen. God says you can't do it. God says, I've given you the complete salvation and even a relationship with me. If you'll believe it and seek it that way, you'll be able to receive it. Lord, help me to understand that it's your finished work, complete. Is it not? Is not salvation the complete work of God? When we put our hands on it, we mess it up. But if we'll realize and call God to do His work in us, now we've got a chance. In fact, now we have hope. And now God can glorify Himself in our lives as He planned to give us a witness, not of what people already know, but of what people haven't seen. Amen? Listen. God is not wanting us to be a witness of what everybody is seeing. God wants us to be a witness of the things that have not been seen yet. And that is the mighty working power of God in your personal life that changes you completely. And as you study the life of every believer in the Bible, Old and New Testament, you will always come to the conclusion, what a great God. It's God that does this work. So this morning, here are the four truths. Ready? Number one, we must have a place where we call on God. Number two, we must call on God to give us a testimony of peace. Number three, we must never lean on our own understanding. And number four, we must be willing, this is the hard one, and the last one, usually the hardest, to wait on God. To wait on God. That's really a simple thing to do. Boy, I don't know what it is about me. I won't speak for you. Waiting is a hard time. Waiting is a hard, isn't it? But listen, if you just ask God for the peace to wait on Him, He'll grant that too. He's amazing. All right, so let's look at verses 1 through 4 here in our chapter. And I want you to see that it's important that we have a place where we call on God. Look at verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. So guess what? Listen, you cannot really walk with God and be in the world or of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You cannot allow this. And when I say that, let me back up a little bit here. We have to be submissive to God that we don't become of the world. It's not up to us to not be of the world. God is calling us out of the world. And God is wanting us to walk in His promises. The promised land of the Israelites was Canaan. And He was bringing them out of the world to bring them into His promises. Spiritually speaking, God is bringing us also out of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it, so that we can walk in His promises. So notice here in verse 1, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now that's good. Lot goes with him. Listen, there's a problem today. There's a problem today. Parents of all ages, I'll just throw that out. You know, a lot of times, young parents, but I'll just tell you, parents of all ages have this idea that, I can't, my kids have to make up their own minds where they're going to go. And we're talking about 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds, under adults. They just have to make up their own mind. Do they make up their own mind whether or not they go to school or not? What would happen if you said, today you decide if you want to go to school or not? What do you think? Do you think most kids are not going to choose to go to school? You could stay home and just stay on freeload status in front of the game computer there. And that's what that is. And let me just tell you something. Just because the world is doing it doesn't make it right. Now, listen, I'm not saying playing games, video games, and other board games is wrong. But if they're doing that habitually every day, and you're not making your kids do some work around the house, I never had the choice. And you know what? Today, I am glad of it. Because I was taught discipline. Now, I hated to wipe down mirrors and clean out the bathtub. I didn't like it. But you know what? Listen, my mom would go back and inspect my work. And she'd point these things out that I didn't see or didn't want to see. And on a Saturday, of all things, I thought that was my day. I couldn't go out. Kids don't do this much anymore, but I couldn't go out and play baseball or football with my friends until my chores, whatever she decided for me to do on Saturday as part of helping out and cleaning the house that I lived in, was done. Do we do that anymore today? Oh, don't bother them. They're on level 10 trying for level 11 in their game. Oh, listen, they're busy. And don't be surprised when they grow up and turn 18 and don't want to work. John Quincy Adams. You ever remember that name? One of the early fathers of our country. At 14 years old. Do you know what he was doing? Not playing computer games. He was an ambassador to a foreign country for our United States. 14 years old. Oh, but they're just, they're outdated, aren't they? If our country needs anything, it's what they had, not what we have today. Most of the people causing trouble, it's because they're getting things handed to them. And problems come. That may not be popular, but what's popular isn't always right. And what's right isn't always popular. And I've got news for you. Our nation's been in trouble for a long time. For a long time. We've been on a decline, I'd say, since probably the turn of the century, 1900s. We've been in trouble. And so what is it? Where's the problem? Now this is easy for us because we can point the finger. Oh no, we better look in the mirror and find out what we've bought into and what we're allowing and what we've neglected in our personal relationship with the Lord. Let me ask you, Brother Tom mentioned this morning, where's your relationship with the Lord? Is it hotter than it was when you first got saved? It should be. It could be. Not because of us, but because of our God. Listen, do you think there was a dull moment in Moses' life? The Lord said, watch what I'm going to do here. Dude, say this, and watch what happens. Remember the 10 plagues? Do you think Moses doubted what God was going to do? Do you think Moses thought he had anything to do with it? Do you think he said, boy, oh boy, oh boy, I hope I can turn this river to blood. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we're sweating it here. No, he knew it was going to happen. How about when the fiery hail was going to come down? Do you think he wondered? Oh, listen. He said, watch this. I know my God. That was what was going on in the life of Moses. How about Paul? And may I tell you, Paul said that it's for everybody. Moses would tell you to be holy because our God is holy and he'll bring you there. God says, listen, Peter, of all people, said that God wants us to be and God will make us a peculiar people unlike anybody else. God will give us a witness and a testimony of his grace in our lives if we'll have it and believe it. And so God is wanting to change our lives. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, do your will in my, oh my goodness, in my life. I want you to do your will in my life. I have faith in you. I trust you. Same word. I trust you with my life, all of it. Are we there? Can we really say, Lord, every area of my life, I want you to rule and reign in? Or have we come to this place, well, that's just me. That's the part that's got to go. That's just me. That's the part that's got to go. Well, that's just the way I do things. That's the part that's got to go. Because it's got to be God doing it or it's not going to happen. So look at verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. Where did that come from? Because remember, when he left, he had nothing. And he trusted God with nothing. Now he's trusting God with what God has given to him. The moment, listen, the natural inclination, the moment we get stuff, I got it from here. That's what Lot did. I got this. Oh, no, you don't. You lost it all. Verse 3, so he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, the house of God, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. And if you're not familiar, Hai means heap of ruins. That's our life without God. That's what God had saved Abram from, and that's what he saved us from. And so if we're facing Bethel, the house of God, where's the heap of ruins? Behind us. The cross before me, the world behind me. So unto the place of the altar, verse 4, which he had made there at the first, and there, Abraham, notice, called on the name of the Lord. That's the altar of God. That's the place that he had where he called on the Lord. May I tell you something? Listen, do you think that was just, oh God, I'm calling on you. Okay, I did my job. Or do you think he said, oh God, that you might direct my life. Oh God, that I might know your direction. You've called me out to this place, and I want to know which way and how to go and what you want me to do. Lord, that you might be glorified in my life, because something big is getting ready to happen that he would have never done unless God was in the middle of his life. Something big is getting ready to happen in our life. You know what that is? The Lord's coming back. How will we stand? The world's going to say what it wants to say. But I'm telling you, I know what the Word of God is saying. And the Lord is going to come back. And here's the truth. You and I will stand before Him. Everybody will stand before Him. But every child of God will stand before Him as well. May we be found faithful by the grace of God, calling on Him to do this work in our lives. And so he had this meeting with the Lord. And I'm convinced he said something like this, oh God, that I might not misdirect my life and find myself back in Egypt as I've done before. God, that I might remain in your will in the house of God. That I won't mislead my life, oh God, because I know the potential that resides there each and every day and every moment of every day to turn away from you and lean to my own understanding. I need you, God. That you might give me your thoughts and your directions, and that I might hunger and thirst after your will and not mine. Your will in every area of my life because of who you are. And I want to see you that way. A holy and righteous God that deserves a holy and righteous vessel by his grace. Not any of my making, but Lord, what you want it to be by your grace. And so he had a conversation. The Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. I don't think it was a 5-minute or 10-minute prayer. I think he received a revelation from God, because he was getting ready to face something that maybe he did not even know about, and God would be able to direct him. Listen, do you know that you and I encounter things every day in our life that without God's direction, we have the greatest potential of stepping away from what God would have us to do? And each and every one of those things. And so we must have a place where we call on God. And then secondly, we must call on God to give us his testimony of peace. Not just a testimony, his testimony. So ready? Here we go. Look at verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, where did Lot get that from? He didn't get it on his own. He got that from Abram, who got it from God. And I'm convinced that Lot knew that and saw that. We know that by the respect that he had to God's angels when he was in Sodom. And he was concerned about it. Listen, he was perverted in his thinking. How's that? Because he was willing to give his daughters that had not known a man to the men of Sodom that were very wicked. So Lot goes with him. He has all of this. Now notice this. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. So this is another group of people that are watching all this that's taking place. Do you know what Abram had? Abraham had a testimony of God's peace. Because in the flesh, you know what he would have said? Listen, nephew, I'm the boss around here. And this is what you have, and this is what you don't have, and this is where you're going, and this is where you're not going. But he didn't do that. You know why? Because he had an altar, and God gave him a testimony of peace. What's our testimony? Where's our confidence? Is it in what we can do, or is it in what God wants to do for us? So here's this problem. Notice what Abram does here in verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. He's a peacemaker. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Now listen, he was the adult. He was the senior. He was the one that rightly had the rights to it all. But he didn't take that. Notice what he says in verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Question. Did Lot know where Abraham's wealth came from? Do you think Lot was aware of Abram's altar? Do you think Lot had any inclination? Do you think Lot witnessed the working of God in Abram's life at all? He did. And do you know what Lot did or should have done? I can't go away from you. Let me thin out my herd. Let me go straighten out my hired men, that they never lift up a voice to your herdmen. Let me call upon God. He had no altar. He had no altar. And you'll find that he was a saved man. And God delivered him, but his whole life was a wreck. Do you know why lives are wrecked? Because people aren't seeking God. Oh no, listen. They're saying they are, but they're not. They're allowing the filth of the flesh to enter into their lives. They're allowing, listen, the filth of the world to consume their lives, and then they're asking, why is God doing it? Why is this all happening? No. Lot had no concern for spiritual things, and he was saved. Because he was delivered, wasn't he? From the wrath of God. Yet so as by fire, boy, did he smell a smoke. His family was lost and ruined. So he called not on the Lord. What did he do in verse 10? Remember, the third thing we must never do is to lean to our own understanding, and that's exactly what he did. And Lot lifted up his heart in prayer. And Lot cried out to the Lord Almighty for direction. And Lot lifted up his eyes and said, that's what I want. How many Christians today are willing to neglect the truth of the Word of God and say, I'm going to live this way. This is what I'm going to do. And there's no difference. Oh God, listen, it's the grace of God, baloney. The grace of God cleanses us from the things of this world. The work of God creates in us a hunger for the truth and the righteousness of God. And if that's absent, so is the grace of God. I didn't say you weren't saved. That's possible. Maybe. It's possible. But if you're just dependent upon, you know, you said a prayer somewhere. I did too at 21. I had people tell me, you're a Christian, you're a born-again believer. No, I wasn't. And after 3 months of it, I got tired of it. And said, oh man, I almost threw away all my rock and roll albums. I'm so glad I didn't. That I would have thrown away a lot of money. 3 years later, I got saved. Lived with a lost roommate. I can't tell you how many hundreds of dollars of rock and roll garbage that defied my Savior and talked about living a lifestyle of promiscuity that my God frowns upon. That I went out at 11 o'clock at night and was glad to get rid of every one of them. Till this day, I've never regretted it. Never regretted it. Not because of me, but because of the holiness of my God and how God let me see Him. But today we have people that believe that they're so-called Christian rock. I just don't see Jesus Christ rocking and rolling, do you? I just don't see Jesus Christ clapping to what they're clapping to. I just don't see that. And then we wonder why the church is in the state that it's in across our land. Because we're not willing to say, God, that's wrong. And I need you to deliver me from that filth. I need you to give me a testimony of your peace. Do you know what Abram in this case was willing to do that Lot wasn't? Seek out God's glory over anything else. The world in which we live in is Christians are winking at the sin that God frowns on. How can you say that, Brother George? Because we don't see the world being turned upside down like they were in the first century. That is not the abnormal. That is the normal Christian life. Because that is a normal, healthy relationship of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. His power. And until God's people stop winking at sin and thinking it's all right because of the grace of God, read the Bible a little clearly and see that it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because if you're walking with me, God's holiness is going to rub off on you. In fact, He's going to place it in our lives. And if that's not the case, then maybe we're more friends with the world than we thought we were. God's honor and witness is more important than what the world and our flesh is saying. And the flesh needs to be killed, crucified. The truth is, it was. If you got saved, your flesh was crucified on the same cross that the Lord's was. And all you need to do is ask the Lord to make that real and reveal that truth and realize that you're dead to sin and you don't have to live any longer therein. I'm not saying sinless perfection, but it's something that we don't look forward to. It's something that we don't even desire. If God's real in our life, listen clearly. Every saved child of God is going to stand before a holy and righteous Savior and God. That ought to be concerning, to say the least. So what does Lot do? Verse 11, he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and even as the garden of the Lord. Can you see? It's like the garden of the Lord. God must want me to go over there. Didn't pray about it, but boy, oh boy. Look, believers, when they say, oh, but it, look at the way that it worked. If it's in defiance of the word of God, it's not him. Just like the garden of the Lord. And then he says, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. And then notice, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. He couldn't get there fast enough. When we leave this place, where's our heart? To look for an altar? Oh God. I don't want to be a powerless believer in you when you've given to me eternal life. Oh God, that your grace might shine through in my life, that I might have your testimony of peace. Now, if we put this message online for everybody to see, do you think the world would get excited about this? No, but God's people ought to. We must never lean on our own understanding, and that's exactly what he did. And lastly, we must be willing to wait on God. So here's Abram at this time, and Lot chose all the best of the land. What was running through Abram's mind? Do you think maybe he thought, well, Lord, look, I did what you did and I was forgotten. He didn't know what was coming. But you know what? He was trusting the Lord in spite of what he saw and how he felt. He did the right thing. I believe God, the Spirit of God, was confirming that in his heart and mind. Abram, you did the right thing. I've not forgotten you. Abram, it looks like you've lost everything. No, you haven't. You know why? Because you've got the best possession, and that's God. Verse 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Exceedingly. And the Lord, ready? He was waiting on God. After all this, listen, Lot's already left. Time's already elapsed. And the Lord comes to Abram and said unto him, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Could Abraham believe that? Had he not already seen God working in his life? What was he doing? Oh God, who am I? And I will make thy seed, verse 16, as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built, notice this, there an altar unto the Lord. Another altar. We ought to be in the business of building altars. Build one in your car. Build one on lunch. You can put, it's in your heart. Build one. Oh God, that I might see you in my day and your grace in my life. And Lord, that I might have the witness of your peace in my life. That the world might see the difference that you bring and make in my life. That's the witness. That'll do more than any... Listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you have the witness of God, the world will be flipped upside down. And if the world is not being flipped upside down, there's no problem right here with the Word of God. There's no problem with the Word of God. Where's the problem? In us. In us. And it all comes down to this. Ready? Is anything impossible with God? It all comes down to this, a personal pursuit. What will you do? Will you pursue the Lord personally? I can't do it for you. Abraham couldn't do it for Lot. And unfortunately, Lot didn't do it for himself, but Abram did. You can do it for yourself. Oh God, that you might work in me according to your will. That's what I want. How about you? Amen? It's ours for the asking. If you're a child of God, it's ours for the asking. And if you're not a child of God, it begins right there. That's what God's people ought to be doing right now in 2021. And we can experience the greatest year of our life in 2021 in our relationship with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today, thanking you for your word and the truth that you reveal through it and by your grace and your Holy Spirit. Lord, may you have free reign in our hearts and minds. Lord, may we call upon you that you might answer, Lord, and show us great and mighty things that will glorify you and change our lives to glorify you. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them, and Lord, point them toward you. And Lord, let them know that we would gladly take the time that's needed to show them how they can know for sure that they have eternal life. But Lord, for those of us who are your children, Lord, when will we see that the days are drawing short, or the time is drawing short? Well, you will return, and you want to use us for your honor and glory. When will we allow you, if not today, when will we allow you and call upon you to change us for your honor and glory? Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.